Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The way I see it now, we have three quality offensive line coaches, and we're going to meet so much with our skill positions, with quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, and running backs all in the same room. I'll lead most of that teaching.
That's Matt LaFleur. He is your new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, meeting the media this week. We got to meet Nathaniel Hackett. We got to see Mike Pettine. So what's your feel right now? Kind of just a little temperature check. We'll do this from time to time regarding the Packers. We'll hear from Mike Moustakas yet this hour, a little bit later in the show. We'll hear from David Stearns a little bit later in this hour, too. Matt Velasquez, join us to talk Bucks at 8 o'clock, so plenty to come. But just with all the sort of noise coming out of Lambeau Field this week, again, we haven't done the combine yet. We haven't done the draft yet. We haven't done free agency yet. We don't know who they're bringing back. Basically, with the new head coach and Aaron Rodgers, and what we know about this team, if you had to make a prediction on their record right now, what are you saying?
Well, I feel like for the first time in a long time here on this in this show, normally we're very excited about the season, about the team winning at least 10 games. Thinking, okay, at least maybe a division championship.
Everyone always says 10 or 6 or 11 and 5.
Yeah.
Those are the only two predictions people ever give about the Packers.
Bart, I think for a first time in God knows how long, we can't say that about these guys.
Nope.
I don't think we can. No longer can you just have Aaron Rodgers and think 10, 11 wins and, you know, they're in. They're in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, right now, new coaching staff, a few different moves they're going to have to make. Still some, we're unsure if certain guys are coming back. I'm going to say 8-8.
8-8 right now for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, 8-8.
Outside of any Antonio Brown trade, outside of the draft,
yes,
we'll see what happens in free agency.
Yeah. I mean, as you always see on the internet, the way too early predictions, which we're doing right here, 8-8, I'll say.
My gut would be around 9-7. I do think that with Rodgers, they're going to get back to it, winning ways at least. They were so close in a lot of games last year. You had the Vikings game, which they tied, where the entire season really changed because Clay Matthews touched Kirk Cousins, you know, on that fourth down, and then it was a tie instead of a win, and you just sort of had everything spiral and snowball after that. Aaron Rodgers, I'm expecting him to get back to the form that I like to see of him. And again, if you look at the stats, you think, oh, he's already great, but so many throwaways, so many rush decisions. He's going to have new coaching. I think that, for the most part, any concern people have with coaching, I'm fine with. Is three voices in the room too many? Is he going to get too much coaching? Does he want coaching? I think, ultimately, everything will be fine and it will work out and we won't talk about it too much. But they've got to build more talent around them. And then, just as Mike Pettine was talking about 2 days ago, you know, first year is different than the second year. Second year, you can start to really implement your stuff. First year, you're just trying to figure everything out and tell guys where to stand. So I do think there will be growing pains with Matt LaFleur. And because it's a new head coach, I'll still be optimistic. I'll go 9-7. I'm not sure that's going to get them in the playoffs, but I think they'll get back to a winning record.
You know how you always say, God, I never hear what you say? You know how you always say that? You know how you always say, Freems, you don't hear what I say sometimes.
Yeah.
Yesterday you said something which was a surprise to me, because usually you're always Mr. Optimistic when it comes to the Packers.
Oh, wow.
I think most of the time on the show, you and I have done this thing.
Yeah.
You've either picked the Packers at the very least, maybe winning the division, most of the time going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl.
I've done that a lot.
Okay. But yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the day before, it might have been with guests, you said somebody said something.
We're talking to Clemens.
yes, and you said, well, they're definitely not going back to the Super Bowl, which was odd for me to hear that from you because you've been maybe a little bit too high in the Packers over the years. So to hear you actually say they're definitely not going back to the Super Bowl was a little odd, and I've never heard you say that before.
Well, I mean, they're not.
No, I know, but I'm saying – I've never heard you say that here on the show because usually.
Do you know the kind of theatrics?
You are really optimistic about them.
The kind of theatrics I would have to fake.
Yeah.
To come on the airwaves and say with a straight face, you know what? Yeah. I believe in Matt LaFleur and I believe in Aaron Rodgers and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. I can't even finish that sentence.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. To hear you actually admit,
now the NFC
you being the owner
game.
Of the team, one of the owners, to be excited about the team is nothing new.
Oh, I'm telling you, as an owner of the team, I'm checking those stock prices every day looking for the right time to sell. Okay?
Well, right now is not a good time.
You know how when you get, like, coupons at restaurants and say this is the value of this is 1/20th of a cent?
Mm-hmm.
That's where my Packers stock is.
So to hear you, actually, you, Mr. Optimistic always about the Packers, to hear you say yesterday, all right, that they're not going to the Super Bowl. And I think that's all reasonable. But to hear it out of your voice yesterday, I was like, wow, man, he's actually admitting that this team is on the downslide.
Adam McKelvey was tweeting some Brewer stuff yesterday, our insider, and somebody tweeted back at him. His name's John. He said, the Bucks and Brewers are both willing to do what it takes to win, and both teams could have MVPs on their team. I never thought I would see it. The Brewers are kind of going all in, I guess you could say. The Bucks are in a very good position. The Packers, I'm not sure that they're ready to do that. There are a lot of names like the Le'Veon Bell and the Antonio Brown and the Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm watching Lewis Riddick yesterday, highly respected guy on ESPN. I'm looking at some of the stuff Field Yates is tweeting out yesterday, another highly respected guy. And they're all pointing to Antonio Brown being perfect destinations for the Packers. I would like to see them do something like that. I think that he'd be worth a couple of wins, you know, maybe 10-6, whatever. I would like to see the offense sort of make a move like that, and I would have liked to see them go after Khalil Mack last year, and maybe because they didn't get him and they were close, they're more inclined to make one of those kind of moves. But for the most part, I'm not thinking they make one of those kind of moves. They'll bring in maybe like a Ziggy Ansah or an edge rusher or, you know, cornerback or maybe Honey Badger or LaMarcus Joyner or whoever. There'll be a free agent or two that comes by. They'll get an edge rusher in the draft, okay? They'll get a young wide receiver. They'll get a tight end. They'll start putting together good pieces for a team that can get back to the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to be a quick turnaround with a new head coach in year one.
Well, you wonder what the philosophy is from the Packer front office. Do they think, hey, you know what? We're in a little bit of a rebuild here. We got to go down a little bit before we bounce back up. Or are they going to try to do the patched up way and do the free agent way? And, you know, obviously draft is always important. But do they feel that they're on the downside? Do the Packers, they don't even have to tell us this, but do they feel that, hey, you know what? We're going to go through a little rough slide here. We've not made the playoffs the last couple of years. We're going to have to go. Or do they feel, too, hey, Aaron Rodgers, with Aaron here, we're going to still have to go for it really hard because he's 35, 36. And, you know, this is the time that we got to still make our move. And what the Packers have done, let's face it, they've kind of defied the system a little bit for more than 25 years because they've mostly been a playoff, if not a Super Bowl contender. Even though they got two Super Bowl championships in there and three appearances, but they've mostly been a contender all those years, haven't always got there. So I think maybe the system kind of owes them a rough stretch here.
Right now, gut feeling on how the Packers will do in 2019, 799-1250, Facebook, Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike's in Franklin. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys.
Hey,
I think with a healthy Rodgers, what we can expect at best is like a 7-9, 8-8. But if they make some major moves, I could see them, you know, do 9-7, maybe even 10-6. But that depends on a lot of the offseason moves. I, for one, I don't want Antonio Brown. I'd rather have Le'Veon just because the guy is so dynamic as a receiver and a running back. Not that we're not set at running back, but I think that's a position we could definitely use an upgrade. And then, you know, linebacker is a huge thing. Offensive line, because some of those guys are getting up in age. So, but yeah, I think optimistically, I'm looking at 8-8 tops, maybe 9-7 if we make a move.
Yeah. Mike, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I mean, that's realistic to think. Yeah, a few years ago, if you'd come on the air and say, well, the Packers will finish 8-8, you'd get killed on Twitter or wherever on the show. But that's...
Maybe in real life.
Maybe, if you walked out to your car.
Right.
Or you're walking around a parking lot somewhere. But no, I think that's realistic. If you said 8-8, there's no reason for anybody. That might be on the high end, 8-8.
Some of the comments coming in Facebook and Twitter. And remember, today is an Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything Wednesday. So rush to Twitter. Use the hashtag AskCW. Tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Ask Chuck or myself a question. We will answer those at 8:45. Here's some of the optimism from Packer fans online. Adam, feels like an 8-8 year. Robert, 4-12. Aaron, 7-9. Will says depends on the prima donna, and then puts up a picture of Rodgers with a huge helmet to fit his huge head.
Man, you know what? Too many people just do that to him, and I hate that. I do not like when people do that to Rodgers. They never did that to Favre, yet they do it to Rodgers.
Photoshop his helmet head?
Well, you know what? Not only that, but just to talk about him in that way. I don't think he deserves that.
Juan says 8-8. I'd love to say 9-7, but the NFC's too good. You're going to need 10 or 11 to get in as a wild card. Christopher says, my Bears win the division and your Packers go 7-9. Thanks for playing, Chris.
Thanks for trolling.
Michael says 8-8. Jeremy says, I think they blow up either in a good way or a bad way. Maybe 12-4, maybe 6-10. Jake says, all depends on the health. Our recent history says thumbs down emoji. So we're right in that 7-9, 8-8. Sort of 9-7, if you're being optimistic. I even feel like I'm stretching it at 9-7. Let's go to Louie and Franklin, 799-1250. Again, before free agency, before the draft, there's so much more to come. Just your gut feeling right now on what the Packers have done this offseason, what you think they're going to look like in 2019. Louie, what's up?
They'll win 10 games.
Louie!
That's what they do. But they won't win the division at 10 games. I think the difference is, for the next couple of years, Minnesota and Chicago are legitimate teams. They no longer have a layup line like the Patriots still have. They no longer have that in their own division. One thing, and you might want, I need to blow up here a little bit. Why are we talking about Antonio Brown? Why? So we can go back to the same way it's been for years. He's either that good or he needs that caliber of weapons to be that good. And we've seen this play, guys. We've seen it. They win 10 to 12 games in the regular season. They reach a team, whether it's San Francisco, Seattle, Arizona, Atlanta, whoever you want to call, that can slow him down or make him fold under pressure, and that has an offense that's good enough to expose this defense for what it is. He wants a new contract. He wants to be the highest paid receiver in the league. You already have a top five. You can't spend $75 million on a quarterback and three pass catchers. You have a top five paid wide receiver. You have the top paid tight end in the league. You have the top quarterback and player paid in the league. Use the money that you're not going to spend on Clay and Cobb. Go sign the best freaking pass rusher that's out there. And go sign the best safety that's out there. And lace them up and let's go. Because the last time they won the Super Bowl, they had a good defense. And you can't continue to keep doing this and say, oh, let's give him more toys. Let's give him more toys. Doesn't matter how many toys he has when he throws up a 56 rating against Seattle. And we sit here and say, well, it's Dom Capers. It's his defensive scheme. It's Ted Thompson. He's drafting 4-3 ends and asking him to stand up. You can't have it both ways. He's either that good or he isn't. And I'm sorry to vent, but I'm tired of every freaking name that comes up that's an elite weapon. We have to go get this guy for Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers played like a game manager last year. Period.
Yeah, well, what you're saying is here, stop spending on the offense and put that money on the defensive side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stop building on him and build around him. He's about to be 36, and he ain't going to get more healthy.
Yeah.
Louie, yes.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, how many times are you going to feel like you have to outscore the other team? You have to do that to win a game, but, I mean, where your defense, okay, your defense can be what it is, but add all these offensive weapons, Bell and Brown and guys like that, but where's your defense? Yeah, they might have. I mean, not going out and getting Mac, even with the two first rounds. I was against it at the time. but they should have made that move.
Chuck, you just read my mind. I was going to bring up Khalil Mack because the trajectory of this franchise, how much it would have been altered if he was a Green Bay Packer. Mike McCarthy would still be the coach, probably. They would have made the playoffs last year.
Oh, I don't know if they would have made the playoffs with just adding Mack. They had to get better in a few other areas, but
yeah,
he would have been a good start.
That happened.
Would have been a good start.
You have Khalil Mack. You probably, Rodgers doesn't get banged up in that Bears game. You have Khalil Mack. The defense is a little better. They don't tie that Vikings game. You're already starting 2-0. You had Khalil Mack. You know the butterfly effect. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Ashton Kutcher. I don't know why I assume you would. It's a great movie. It's like any movie. You ever see Mr. Destiny?
No. But I know who Ashton Kutcher is.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
But I didn't
surprisingly
think butterfly effect.
Well, don't take for granted I know any of these Hollywood stars, but I know who he is.
Do you know who Jim Belushi is?
I know who John Belushi and Jim Belushi is.
Yeah, Jim Belushi was in a movie called Mr. Destiny.
Yes.
Where he
went, I felt Jim tried to live off John's reputation.
He did.
Yeah.
But Jim went down one path and then he went back in time to a high school baseball game where if he would have hit the home run, how much his life would be different. You've seen these sort of movies.
That's my life right there.
Right. So you're on one path, but if you would have hit the home run, it'd be different. One event can wildly change your life. Okay? So that's what I think could have happened with the Green Bay Packers if they would have got
kind of like with Reggie signing with the Packers. They were he kind of took them to the next level.
What if Reggie didn't sign here? How different would your life be? Your life would be different.
With Reggie signing here, help get other guys here too.
Right. Think of how many different.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be talking right now.
I don't know if. Why is that?
The things that would have happened. Maybe I don't like the Packers as much and I don't get into sports. Maybe you're covering somewhere else.
Oh, you're talking about Reggie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie signing with just all those little things. We don't ever really. You can never know.
Yeah. I mean, if Reggie had not signed here, would the Packers have taken off? How? Because they had an ascending Favre, but they needed some help on the defensive side.
If Reggie had never signed here, would there even be a Bart's Breakfast Bonanza to this day? We don't know. But what I do know, and you guys can keep calling in at 799-1250, gut feelings on the Packers coming up into 2019, knowing what we know now. What I do know is that Bart's Breakfast Bonanza runs through this weekend. It is only available for a limited time. So get to it this weekend. It is at Perkins. It is available at any Perkins in the greater Milwaukee area throughout southeast Wisconsin. Get there. Get the three eggs done how you like. The four pieces of meat, be it bacon or sausage, the hash browns, and then four pancakes. And all that breakfast you will get for just $6.99. So four plus two. Plus $6.99. $6.99 at Perkins. You get the four pancakes, the four slices of bacon, the crispy hash browns, and the three eggs, all for just $6.99 at any available greater Milwaukee area Perkins. Bart's Breakfast Bonanza, ask for it by name. Green Bay Packers, we've seen the coaches. We know they got to work with Rodgers. There's a lot yet to be seen, but your gut feelings right now, 414-799-1250. And do you want Antonio Brown? Would he change those gut feelings? We'll hear more from you guys next.
I think we're going to bring a lot of energy every day, and I think we'll be able to connect and reach our players, and that's what I'm most excited about. I think they're all great, high character guys. You will not see egos. These guys are going to roll up their sleeves and get to work, and I think our players will appreciate that, and they'll be excited when they get to meet these guys moving forward.
He's a first-year head coach, Matt LaFleur, new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, talking earlier this week at Lambeau Field. Wants to lean heavily on analytics via our friend Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press-Gazette. LaFleur has been thinking about the role of analytics in his future decision-making processes and is implementing plans to use numbers as a tool. Now, some of these other coaches will hire specific game management coaches to help them out, but LaFleur didn't do that. He did retain Mike McCarthy's analytics staff, and he plans to have Brian Gutekunst, come up with different situations during OTA practices to test his decision-making. He did some things similar as the offensive coordinator as the Titans, but the pressure obviously a little different now. He tells Doherty, being the play caller, I want to think on my feet. I want to throw one in randomly, throw in some of these situations in the OTAs and see what I come up with. That's not verbatim, just kind of paraphrasing. But Matt LaFleur going to look at that. Again, he's a first-year head coach, first-year head coaches. I don't think one has ever won a Super Bowl. Am I right on that? I know John Harbaugh did well in his first year. Barry Switzer did well in his first year. John Madden did well in his first year. I don't think anyone's won a Super Bowl.
Of those guys.
Caldwell got to one in his first year with Peyton Manning.
All those guys, including Caldwell, but Bootlegger's boy, old Barry Switzer, he was set up for that Super Bowl, man. They put that Super Bowl on a gold plate for him, man.
George Seifert did it.
Everything was set up for him by Jimmy Johnson. I mean, that team was in 95 was destined to win a Super Bowl. You know, Seifert was set up too by Bill Walsh.
Seifert did it. Don McCafferty did it with the Colts.
Yeah. And then he was fired like a couple of seasons later.
So is Matt LaFleur more Don McCafferty or George Seifert? 799-12.
Well, I mean, he's neither right now because he hasn't done anything. But the dynamic between him and Rodgers, it's like when McCarthy was hired, we didn't know how's that going to work between McCarthy and Brett Favre, because Favre pretty much controlled the relationship between himself and Mike Sherman. And then McCarthy came in and did a few things with Favre and, you know, corrected some of those mistakes and, you know, reeled him in a little bit. It remains to be seen what this guy can do with Aaron Rodgers. Not that he's got to reel him in, but what type of different ideas does he have for the offense?
799-1250, just kind of taking a temperature check, which we'll do time to time. How you feel about this upcoming Packers season? Chuck said 8-8.
Yeah.
And I said 9-7. Plenty of work to be done. But right now, just where you're feeling. Skyler's on the north side, 799-1250. What's up, Skyler?
Hey, what's up? I'm going to probably say right now, 8-9-7. But I wanted to say the guy before me, hey, he was on the money, man. That was a great call because, I mean, he was right. He was right on the money. Everything he said was right. And hey Chuck, I got a favor to ask you.
Yeah.
Hey, you a funny guy, man. Give me some more Nick Perry jokes.
You want some more who jokes?
Give me some more Nick Perry jokes.
Nick Perry? I've never told the Nick Perry joke ever.
Yes, you have. Talk about how you always played with the cask and
how I played with the what?
You talk about how he always played with an arm cast, you know, just some jokes, you know. You just always giving them the business, which is funny because it's the truth. You said he always not healthy, so he either coming in the game with a cast or a kneecap brace or something. No.
Is there another Chuck Friedman that's running around here? Because Skyler, you're killing me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Bart, I don't remember ever saying something like that.
I'm trying to think what...
what are you talking about?
You use the joke, can't defend a telephone pole a lot.
Yes.
Use the joke, can't jump over a phone book a lot.
Yes. I don't remember ever making a joke about
playing with one
Nick
arm
Perry.
Tied behind his back but if a you lot, but he does seem to do that.
Skyler, if you say I did that and you're going to give me a credit for telling a joke, I'll take it.
But yeah, it was funny.
I don't remember doing it.
Thanks, Skyler.
All right. Yep.
We'll see ya. 799-1250.
Did you ever watch an old movie?
Yeah.
There was an old movie on Golf Channel last night involving Jerry Lewis. How was that guy ever over? That guy is so not funny. All right, that's my two cents on old movies.
What are you?
No, he was talking about me telling a joke. Jerry Lewis was on this movie.
Oh, yeah, I've never been a Jerry Lewis fan.
God, he's... Tell me what is about that guy that was funny back in the day. That was he is not funny at all.
Yeah, and I don't think he was that good of a dude either.
No.
I mean, I know he did his little telethon.
I do have a little Jerry Lewis personal story someday I could tell you.
Let's save that for Saturday's show.
Let's save that for the next All-Star break.
Okay. George is on the north side, 799-1250. What's up, George? How you think the Packers will do?
Man, I think they're going to do fine, but I think the caller, two callers ago...
So, Louie, everyone wants to go back to Louie.
Yeah, where he was wrong at is, look at the overall big picture of the Packers last year. They didn't lose a lot of games by a lot. Dude, they lost Muhammad Wilkerson. They keep, like, poo-pooing that. Man, if you think of that front four, would have been Kenny Clark, Daniels, and Muhammad Wilkerson. Then if Kevin King was healthy, if the team was just healthy, if the team knew how to use the weapons that they have, they wasn't imaginative. What can you do when you're not using nothing properly? You're not using the running game properly. You're not using your receivers properly. And then you're not being imaginative. So, of course, the Packers are going to suck. Their defense overall was ranked 18. New England defense was ranked 21. And they won a Super Bowl. And they have a Hall of Fame quarterback just like we do. And our offensive weapons are better than New England. The key is injury, dormant on offense, not knowing how to use the people that you have. Now you're going to have a new coach. They do run block, zone blocking. People need to understand. He's bringing a zone blocking in. Do we even have the offensive line to even run that type of scheme?
Yeah, when you implement a new scheme, George, what I'm about to say isn't like groundbreaking, but when you implement a new scheme, you've got to get guys to fit that scheme.
Oh, you're kidding. Man, that's profound. That's like saying, hey, can the Packers win a game? I don't know. That was pretty. Give me that one again, so I could remember that one.
You see, guys, can I do it so it makes it sound like I'm the first one to ever come up with it? George, here's the thing, George. When you implement a scheme like zone blocking, you've got to get guys that can go along with that scheme. How about that? Sound pretty good.
Can I tell another guy who can't guard a telephone pole? Can I tell you about a couple guys like that?
Yeah, sure.
And we can go back and forth like this. Were you trying to do a John Gruden there?
I don't know what I was trying to do.
That was like John Gruden from Manitowoc.
I felt like it had to be said, but also everybody knows it, but I just felt like it had to be said.
So in other words, do the Packers have the right guys to run the zone blocking scheme?
799-1250?
Yeah, without breaking some knees on the other side of the football.
Can we break down how David Bakhtiari's footwork is? 799-1250.
Oh, boy.
We will take more of your calls on the Green Bay Packers and your gut feeling on what you think 2019 is going to look like. Some of the reason to go get Antonio Brown is spelled out by Field Yates of ESPN. He says it would revitalize the offense instantly. He says the Packers are in a healthy cap situation. They can afford him. Green Bay's got extra draft capital. They've got two number ones, two number fours, two number sixes. They could trade some picks. Pairing him with Davante Adams would allow their rookie receivers from a year ago to further develop, and Pittsburgh may look to be trading him out of the AFC.
Okay.
That's why you could look at Green Bay as a potential destination.
Let me ask you this. If Antonio Brown didn't have any baggage that comes with him, okay, would you be willing to do that, or does the baggage play a part into it?
No, because the baggage means nothing to me.
It doesn't mean anything to you?
No,
you
don't want him coming. Doesn't.
So really, so you don't care for if you brought a guy here, you wouldn't worry about, okay, is he going to cause the same problems here as he did in Pittsburgh? I feel like in Pittsburgh, there's always some sort of drama.
I don't know what's going on, yeah, in Pittsburgh.
It doesn't seem like there's always some sort of drama with their stars.
Yeah, well, Bell just did it, and then Ben's had a
few setbacks.
Career.
Yeah, yeah. And now this. It just I feel like, man, for whatever reason, you hear about the Steelers organization being so great and all that, and one of the banner programs and the Rooneys and all that. Seems like their stars sure go through some issues in Pittsburgh.
Well, let's see. What's this clown making?
Which one?
22 million this year.
Who?
Brown.
Oh.
And then in 2020, he's under contract for 18. And then in 2021, he's under contract for 19.
But he wants a whole new contract.
Right.
That's the problem.
I would trade pick number 30.
Yeah.
And like a four for Antonio Brown, and I would pay him that for the next 3 years. But if he wants a new contract.
Well, that's the problem.
I don't know if I want to go down there.
But see, that's the deal. I think you got to come. You'd have to have a contract with him. He wants a new deal. That's why he's complaining. He wants a new deal, and you'd have to give him a new deal. Otherwise, he's going to be complaining here just like it is in Pittsburgh. He had a meeting, Bart. He had a meeting with Art Rooney. Okay. I wonder how that, because they both agreed that he needs to move on. I wonder how, I'd love to hear the verbiage in that meeting between Antonio Brown and good old Art Rooney.
Well, it must have been good enough that they posed for a picture to put on Instagram after.
Yes, but then they both agreed that they, even Rooney agreed that Brown needs to be traded. Really odd.
You know, if the Packers did go get him, it'd be like what the Brewers are doing, where you're stacking up your offense and then, you know, you're going to try to outscore teams.
But
the Packers may be doing the same thing if they did that.
In 2 years, will Brown be having a similar meeting with Mark Murphy over at Moe's Southwest Grill?
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. More from you guys, 799-1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Who the best in the whole world? Someone hit my phone. Tell him I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL, you heard? If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them call me.
AB84, who apparently wants to be known as Big Chest now. Antonio Brown.
He wants to be known as what?
Big Chest. I don't have many details on that. I was just watching some PTI last night, and that's what Kornheiser spent most of his
chest
time complaining about. Yeah. Big Chest.
I can go a few ways with that one, but I'll just leave it stand.
Uh-huh. AB84, it's Antonio Brown. Now, Antonio Brown is due to make 22 this year, 18 the next, and 19 the following. Pittsburgh allegedly agreeing to trade him, so now they're going to work through it. They don't want to have Brown contact with other teams. They want to be in control, but that money's not guaranteed in the NFL. So if the Packers were to trade for him and guaranteed that money, I would still be okay with that. I don't want them to renegotiate and pay him even more. But I would welcome Antonio Brown here.
But
I would welcome the offensive weapon.
But that's what I think he's demanding, a contract. Because if he comes here, they trade for him, and then he sits out and he pulls a Le'Veon Bell, then how much better off are you? You're out a few players, draft picks, and you got a guy who doesn't want to play for you unless he gets his contract redone.
I mean, the Packers have two first-round picks. I don't know if they're going to use both of those. They could trade up.
I mean, Antonio checks into Lambeau Field, and he goes up to Murphy and says he wants a new deal. What do you think Murph's response is going to be?
Well, we got to see how many people are in line today to go down the sled, and if we got enough, we'll extend to you.
That's what until then, you know, I can offer you a condo over in De Pere.
799-1250. Again, sort of a temperature check. The Packers introducing Matt LaFleur again this week and some of the other coaches. So starting to kind of see what this at least new regime looks like, and we're trying to see what it feels like from you guys. Still got to do the combine and the draft and free agency and the franchise tags and all this stuff has to happen. The OTAs, the mini camps, the preseason. We're a long way out from giving you our Packers are going to go this and this prediction. But just as of right now, with everything we know, it feels like LaFleur will come in here, get Rodgers a little bit back on track to me. They'll go about 9 or 7, maybe get in, maybe not. I'll go 9 and 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be on the high end. And even mine, 8 and 8 could be on the high end. I'm setting the bar low going into the next season. I mean, you think about it. How did they come back and beat the Bears down 20 last year at Lambeau Field? That was late in the year.
It's a lifetime ago.
They couldn't pull that one off. Yeah, I mean, look at how those two seasons went.
799-1250, 414-799-1250. Let's go to Gary, who is in New Berlin. What's up, Gary?
Hi, Gary.
Yeah, it's Jerry, but anyway.
Jerry with a J.
I don't have a lot of confidence in the Packers. I'm going to say 7 and 8. But you guys have been talking
about...
They're
going to skip a game?
Yeah.
So they're going to just not play one game. It's going to get snowed out.
7 and 9, okay.
Okay.
7 and 9. But you guys have been talking about Mac, you know, and we wouldn't even need to be talking about Mac if Thompson would have pulled his head out and got Watt instead of Beagle.
Oh, you want to go back to the T.J. Watt draft?
Hold on. You're saying if they would have drafted T.J. Watt instead of Beagle, McCarthy would still be here?
I don't know if McCarthy would still be here because of Rodgers' attitude, but we wouldn't have to be talking about Mac and what we should have got him or should have done this, you know.
Man, I tell you, so many people just want to continue to throw darts at Aaron Rodgers. Is anybody like him as a quarterback anymore?
I think it's because of his attitude. And,
my God.
I mean, look at I'm drawing a blank.
That's all right. We'll help you.
The Patriots.
Brady?
Brady.
Oh, that guy.
I mean, yeah, granted, I mean, I know things weren't left there, but he never threw a coach under the bus.
Man, I'm just surprised there are just so many people who hate on Rodgers. I mean, it's never ending. It's like, man, this guy, does anybody like him anymore? I mean, I know they're disappointed in last season and how that ended with
McCarthy. People like him. It's just, I think.
God, it's just that everything is diva.
We do it in sports. It's a fatigue thing. He's been here for so long.
Is it because, well, I mean, I didn't feel.
His body language was awful.
All right. When Brett Favre was doing his stuff, I don't think anybody, Brett Favre could go ahead and cheat on his wife all day, yet nobody ever. Oh, Brett Favre, what a great guy he was. Oh, man, he was Wisconsin.
Yeah, but I don't know. You always bring that up with Favre.
Well, yeah, I do. But Aaron Rodgers, man.
People don't. It's not. I mean, people do bring up his girlfriends and stuff, but it's not the off-the-field stuff that people are mad about Rodgers. It's the way that he plays on the field.
Okay. But, I mean, even Favre. Look how many interceptions that guy. Bad plays he made over the years. And I'm not saying Favre wasn't a great quarterback. But, man, Favre got the biggest mulligan of anybody. Rodgers, man. Does a few things in the body language, and I'm not saying that's right either. And people are all over him.
Let's go to Tim in West Dallas, 799-1250. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how's it going? I really think it could be like 7-9 for the year. That's gonna be a slow start. And they have they got the right coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And the team doesn't know how to, run as an equal opponent or equal component to the passing game.
Okay, if you think they're 7-9 with Rodgers, where are they without Rodgers?
Maybe 2 or 3 wins.
Oh, man. Okay. You're probably right on that.
Well, I mean, he was the team.
Yeah.
I mean, they had nothing to, help him out. And, the guy before me talked about T.J. Watt. Well, there's another player they should have drafted. When the first round pick was Cedric Bates, and he was picked by Buffalo, and now he's playing as a starter for Kansas City.
You sound like you're in a grocery bag.
Well, I like the moves they made. Thompson didn't have a good draft for like 5 years, and then he shouldn't have gone long ago.
Yeah, 414-799-1250. I think if they didn't have Rodgers and a new head coach, I'd probably take them 5-11. If they didn't have Rodgers.
If they didn't have Rodgers.
So yeah. I'm going to say Rodgers is worth 4 wins. Is that low?
Without Rodgers?
If I go 5-11 without Rodgers, I think they're going to go 9-7 right now.
I think even 5-11 without Rodgers is a push.
Let's get to Chris in South Milwaukee talk some Rodgers.
Yeah.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Good.
I know you guys are not going to agree with me with this, but, at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is going to be always second to Brett Favre.
Oh, boy.
Brett Favre was an infallible creature, He was a guy that, everyone loved because he was imperfect. I think that Rodgers being this type of perfect diva, it just rubs off the wrong way with a lot of people. And especially if you look at his last 3 seasons, he hasn't been the guy that people want to really take up to.
Wow. Okay. Well, he's been hurt. Did you feel this way after he won a Super Bowl in his 3rd year as the team's starting quarterback?
You know what? He did.
Or fourth year.
He kept his calm, playing second fiddle to Brett Favre until Brett was ousted from Green Bay.
Yeah.
He was really great. I mean, Brett Favre. But at the end of the day, at least I'll give Brett Favre some slack that at least, he throws the interceptions and all this, but at least he takes a chance. And you guys can agree with me that Aaron Rodgers doesn't take a chance. He holds on to that ball too long, and he's a statistical diva. Mm-hmm. I mean, he cares about his numbers.
Yeah. I would rather have a guy do that than to throw into traffic and a pick 6 is going the other way. I mean, how many times did Favre, okay, I feel like I always have to say this. Yeah, as great as Favre was, but still, how many times trying to lead the team on a game-winning drive, Bart, and those teams, did Favre make the big mistake?
See, I don't know if Rodgers, I don't know how much Rodgers thought about that interception streak where he hadn't thrown one in so long, but I was happy when it ended.
Oh.
I was happy when it ended because then it wasn't, I thought that it was certainly on his mind. He was asked about it in interviews and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, that streak, is that, I mean, that's not like some streak that's going to get him to the Hall of Fame.
No, and so the, I don't know why, I don't want to say he obsessed over it, but it, there was a lot of times where, look, there's a middle ground. You don't just chuck it with your eyes closed like Favre did, but you don't hang on to it because there's a 2% chance you're going to throw an interception, which I feel like Rodgers did a lot. I feel like the Rodgers thing, Favre was beloved, and then Rodgers came in, and people like stopped liking the Packers when Favre left because you chose him. Then Favre went to the Vikings, everyone came in on Rodgers. Then Rodgers wins a Super Bowl, so it's Rodgers. Then Rodgers is playing well, winning MVPs, and we look back and say Rodgers is better than Favre. But in the last couple of years, it's like almost ever since Rodgers decided he stopped hating Favre, we've all kind of like jumped back on the Favre wagon and are all rushing to throw the word diva around for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, how about 2008? I mean, if you think back to that, I mean, how classless it was for those fans to boo Aaron Rodgers.
I just accidentally hung up on someone. I'm sorry. That was a mistake.
For the fans to boo him on Family Night in 2008 without even giving him a chance because he was the next guy in line. And it's like people feel that he pushed him out the door. No, it was the Packers. And Rodgers handled that wonderfully, man. And, a few short years later, man, they're cheering him on the return to Lambeau because he won a Super Bowl there. And, I mean, just like to boo that guy in Family Night the way they did, it was just awful.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. It's an Ask Us Anything Wednesday. You can tweet in your questions at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can use the hashtag AskCW to do that. We'll do that in about an hour. Next hour, we've got Matt Velasquez to talk some Milwaukee Bucks with us at 8 o'clock. We're going to hear from some of the guys down at spring training, be it Mike Moustakas and David Stearns. 9 o'clock, we'll hear from Bob Nightingale, who will join us from the USA Today, talk some Machado and Harper and Moustakas and Brewers and Keuchel and all that kind of stuff with him. Jared Weiss of The Athletic will talk some Celtics. Around 9:30. So plenty to come yet here on the show. Before we get into Velasquez, I do want to make note of this because there is a big game tonight in college basketball, Duke-UNC. Tickets for this game are going for Super Bowl-level prices. To go to the Super Bowl, the cheapest ticket was about $2,600 to go to the Super Bowl. To go to Duke-UNC tonight at Cameron Indoor Stadium, which only holds about 9,000 people, right now, if you want a ticket, it's going to be $2,500.
Yeah, how about that?
To see Zion Williamson, to see Duke UNC, because it's a smaller arena. That is absurd.
Okay, but in the grand scheme of things, Duke UNC, both of these teams are going to the tournament. All right, if either one of these teams loses, it's not going to wreck their season. This is not like a big college football matchup. Like if Auburn and Alabama were playing each other for the right to go to college football's Final Four, or Ohio State and Michigan, you know, big rivalry game like that. That's one thing, because the team gets eliminated. Losers this game, what, they get one seed less in the NCAA tournament? I mean, there's a lot of pride involved in this game, and, you know, the ACC championship, but there's the loser of this game doesn't have to take a back seat to the other team at all.
Yeah, and if you're paying to see Zion Williamson, like, go to a different game.
Well, what you're seeing here,
go to when they play Virginia Tech.
But here's the deal. You're seeing, by going to the game, you're seeing two teams that are loaded with McDonald's All-Americans.
True.
That's what it is. You're seeing a lot of basketball talent on the court.
$2,500
Yeah.
To see Duke UNC?
Well, I'm not saying that's a good price, the right price, but, you know, there's not a lot on the line like it would be for a college football matchup of this magnitude.
Could you imagine Wisconsin Marquette ever drawing tickets for $2,500?
No, not at all. Because when Marquette and Wisconsin play each other in mid-December, you forget about that rivalry a couple of weeks later. It doesn't. When the NCAA Tournament Committee goes back and looks at Marquette and Wisconsin, they don't determine seeding based on that game at all. No, it doesn't make a big deal of difference. It's fun because it's a rivalry game, and the same with Duke, North Carolina. Both teams are well in the tournament.
Had the Brewers gone to the World Series and gone to Game 7 and I needed to get in to buy a ticket, $2,500 for, I mean, that would be a long
decision-making process. College basketball games are 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I ain't never paying $2,500 to see a 40-minute basketball game.
Yeah, you're done. I mean, Game 7 last year, it cost us some money to get back into that place.
That's my...
Everybody went to Game 6 in my family, and then they wanted to go back to Game 7.
That's my UWL communications degree, by the way. I ain't never paying.
Yeah.
That's my Fond du Lac coming out. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Matt Velasquez to join us coming up. We'll talk Bucks Celtics, which still isn't until tomorrow night. And we'll go down to Arizona and hear from Mike Moustakas, David Stearns before we're out as well. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.